You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussain Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussain will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله الاسكياء واصحابه الاتقياء اما بعد. Yesterday we were going through some of the rights of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon the ummah. I went through a few yesterday and I wanted to go through a few today. A part of the right of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon the ummah is that not only do we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we also extend our love to the people who were around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his lifetime, specifically the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the companions, "Allah, Allah fi ashabi, be mindful of Allah, be mindful of Allah when it comes to my companions. La tattakhidhuhum gharadan min ba'di." Do not make my companions a target of your poisonous words. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ فَبِحُبِّ أَحَبَّهُمْ Whoever expresses love to my companions, it's actually because they love me. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَهُمْ And whoever has any anger or animosity towards my companions, it's actually because they have enmity towards me. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that مَنْ أَذَاهُمْ فَقَدْ أَذَانِي Whoever has hurt or made an attempt to harm my companions, has in reality hurt me. وَمَنْ أَذَانِي فَقَدْ أَذَى اللَّهِ And whoever hurts me, has made an attempt to hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَذَى اللَّهِ فَيُشْرِكُ أَنْ يَأْخُذَهُ And whoever tries to hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, surely, very soon. Let our tongues be pure of any false accusations, or any harsh words, any disrespectful language when it comes to addressing the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our tongues and our hearts should only express never-ending love, a lot of emotion and respect for them. And this also continues on to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, there are certain groups within the Muslim world who have claimed to hijack the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's as if they have sole rights to praise Fatima radiallahu anha and Hussein radiallahu anha and Hassan radiallahu anha and Ali radiallahu anha. One group exaggerated in love for them and respect for them to a degree that another group decided not to love them at all. I've sat with people who've told me. There was a person who was having a child. I said, he asked me, what should I name my child? I said, how about Hassan or Hussein? These were the names the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose for his grandchildren. Beautiful names. He said, no, I won't name my children that. And I asked him why. And he said, because these names have become staples for certain deviant groups, and I don't want my children to be associated with those groups. I said, just because someone expresses their love for a particular sahabi does not give you the right, or neither should you even accept it for yourself, to abandon that companion. What if tomorrow some Islamophobe attaches himself to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, wal'ayadu billah, are you going to abandon that sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This became a trend in Islamic history, by the way. There was a time during the period of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, where expressing your love for the immediate family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a sign of being from a particular group. That you were from that group, that's why you mention the virtue of Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu anha and the other family, immediate close family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This became a problem because the majority of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah stopped talking about the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They stopped giving lectures on their virtue, stopped calling people towards their love. And it was Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alaihi who stood on a pulpit and publicly said something profound. He said, "In kana riflu hubbu ali Muhammadin falyashhad al-thaqalan anni rafidi." That if it means to love the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you are from a deviant group, then let me tell the world that I'm a deviant person because I'm madly in love with the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one can steal their love from me. No one's going to tell me I can't talk about them, I can't talk about their virtue. We will continue to name our daughters Aisha radiallahu anha, Zainab radiallahu anha, Ruqayya radiallahu anha, Fatima radiallahu anha. After these great women, we will continue to name them after these names. We will continue to name our children after the great grandchildren of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his immediate and distant family members, because these were people who were beloved to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have love for them too, inshallah al-aziz. Before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, one of the last advices he gave for the companions, he said, "Be mindful when it comes to my family. Take care of them." Last words, amongst his last words, "Be mindful, itrati, when it comes to my family, my immediate, those who are closely related to me. And be careful when it comes to them. Don't extend your tongue on them." The greatest, one of the greatest rights that we have, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demands from us, and we owe to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that we keep ourselves engaged in the salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sending salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And this is what I referred to earlier on, twice already in our Ramadan series, as making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was a reference point I made earlier on. And here we're touching base with that today. Keeping yourself engaged and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate his rank even more. Continue to shower his mercy upon him. It is a right upon every one of us, aside from the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the command of sending salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is embedded in the Quran itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi." Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels send salat upon the messenger, upon the prophet. "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu," O those who believe, "sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima." Send salutations upon him. Send greetings and peace upon him. This is a command that comes directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine this honor for a moment. One of my mashayikh, he used to say something very beautiful. He used to say, if you study the lives of all the prophets, and study all the unique honors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, and study their miracles, what you'll notice is that the honor that was given to them, the miracle that was given to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an equivalent honor and miracle to our Prophet, or even better. Then he would go through this lengthy list. He would say, look at Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him masjudun malaika. Allah told the angels to prostrate in front of him. With qalatil malaikatu. What is the ayah of the Quran? With qala rabbuka lil malaika. Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when your Lord said to the angels, usjudu. Prostrate in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. All of them prostrated, except for Iblis the shaytan. This was the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam, masjudul malaika. Allah commanded the angels to prostrate in front of him. But when it comes to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just only tell the angels to send salat upon him, Allah joins them himself. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ. Allah himself joins when it comes to sending salawat upon the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think of the honor of this ibadah. Think of the rank of this ibadah. Our hearts and tongue have been barren of sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Someone came to me the other day and said, I didn't know that sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was even a thing outside prayer. I said, of course it's a thing. Do you not know that Allah himself is doing it? Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who believe, صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ. Let your testification of your faith be that you send salutations and you send your greetings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of my teachers, he used to further expound on this. And he would say, you look how Musa alayhi salam took his asa, he took his staff, and he threw it in the water. What happened to the staff? What happened to the water? It split. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave a similar miracle to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He pointed towards the moon. And what happened to the moon? It split. But he said, that miracle is better than this one. The Prophet's miracle is greater than Musa's. Why? Because Musa alayhi salam's miracle was qareeb to the people in front of him, while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's miracle was ba'eed, it was far away. And it wasn't only for the people of Mecca. Anyone in the world that looked into the sky at that time, what happened? They witnessed that miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would continue on and on. An Arabi poet, he captures this honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a beautiful line of poetry. He says, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ فِي الْأَنَامِ فَضِيلَةٌ. For every prophet, there was a rank and honor that Allah gave them, a miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with. لكل نبي في الأنام فضيلة وجملتها مجموعة في محمد. And all of those honors and all of those ranks were gathered for my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he finishes off by saying, ما إن مدحت محمدا بمقالتي ولكن مدحت مقالتي بمحمد. Today I have not praised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My words are incapable of praising a being that Allah himself praised. How can we ever praise someone that Allah praised? Amina is standing in front of the Kaaba with her little munchkin, her newborn baby. His grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, is by her side, and they're thinking, what do we name this guy? What do we name this little boy? And what do they name him? The one who's praised, Muhammad. She had no idea how much her son was going to be praised. But there isn't a single prayer. But at the end of our prayer, we praise him by saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. No matter how many people hate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter how many images you draw against him, or how many foul videos or movies you made against him, that same day, believe it or not, 500 to 1,000 or maybe even more kids will be born, and their parents will look at them and say, this guy's a Muhammad for sure. You can try to, and he won't just be called Muhammad for that day, that child will be called Muhammad until the day that child dies. I had a friend who was from Somalia, and he had a son. And I asked him, what's your son's name? He said, Muhammad Athamin. You know what that means? You guys don't get it, do you? You know what Muhammad Athamin means? It means he had 7 other kids, and guess what he named every one of them? He said, this one, oh, he's a Muhammad. His wife and they had another kid, and the wife's like, what's the name for this one? He's like, this one, oh, my heart, I can't accept any other name than Muhammad. They had a third, you know, you go to Pakistan and India, one of my uncle's friends, he was telling me, he said, I don't understand you Pakistani people, you Indian people. I said, what's the problem? He said, every one of you is called Muhammad. Because they have a culture in that part of the world that no matter whatever the first name is, before the first name, they have another name. And what's the other name they put before that? Muhammad. If the person's name is Yusuf, what's the official name? Muhammad Yusuf. If it's Iqbal, what's the first name? Muhammad Iqbal. Because of the love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, sallu alayhi. Our tongues, ma in madahtu Muhammadan bimaqalati. My tongue is incapable. Our words are incapable of praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walakin madahtu maqalati bimuhammadi. But today, by mentioning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this gathering, we bring smiles to the faces, and we bring joy to the heart, and we have praised this gathering. You know, in Urdu they say, Shama'ile Mustafa ka jo bayan hai, aashiqo ke liye aaram-e jaan hai. That when I talk about the descriptive nature of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it brings peace to the heart of those who love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maze lele kar mein sunao, as I talk about the Prophet of Allah, I enjoy it. Hasaun aashiqo ko to kabhi na unko rulao. Sometimes they cry, sometimes they smile, because that's the nature of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maulana Qasim Nanuti rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, every believer who says la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah has a spiritual string that connects them with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They may or may not be aware of that string, but when you bring the discussion, the mention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of them, watch, he used to say, you will see them smile. They themselves won't know they're smiling, but their hearts and their faces are in joy, because you are talking about their beloved that they've been kept so far away from. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this brings a second discussion. And the second discussion it brings is, what's the legal ruling of sending salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is sending salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wajib? Is it sunnah? Is it mustahab? What's the ruling of sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The great muhaddith Hafiz ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala, who was one of the greatest muhaddithin in Islamic history, for as long as Sahih al-Bukhari will be taught and respected in this world, Ibn al-Hajar's name will always be mentioned, because he is the greatest commentator on Sahih al-Bukhari. My teacher used to say, La hijrata ba'd al-fath. That after Fath al-Bari, which was his book, La hijrata ba'd al-fath, it's actually a hadith, but he brought this in another context. He said, after Fath al-Bari was written, there is no commentator on Bukhari that can ever lecture or write on that book without making reference to this book. It's like the ultimate authority on Sahih al-Bukhari. Ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani, while discussing this issue in his Fath al-Bari, which is a multiple volume book, he says, the hukum, the ruling of sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has been differed upon by the scholars. And then he says, وَفِيهِ عَشْرَةُ أَقْوَالٍ. And there are how many opinions? He says there are 10 opinions on the issue. أَوَّلُهَا قَوْلُ ابْنُ جَرِيرِ أَنَّهَا مُسْتَحَبَّةٌ وَدَّعَ الْإِجْمَاعَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. He says the first opinion is by Ibn Jarir, who says that it is mustahab, it is preferable. And he claims that there is a consensus on this, even though, as we just learned, there is no consensus because there are how many opinions? 10 opinions. My teacher used to say, anytime anyone claims consensus, know that there is no consensus. Because other than La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, the Ummah has not had, we hadn't had consensus, which is an okay thing. It's not a blameworthy thing. Scholars come from different perspectives with different proofs and they hold different opinions. It's a very healthy thing. Another opinion the scholars, they say, is that it is mandatory upon a person to say salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at least once in prayer. That's one opinion. Another group of scholars, they say, it is necessary to send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi kulli du'a, every time you raise your hands, every time you ask for yourself. It's a right that you have towards the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that before you ask for yourself, who do you ask for? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, a dua that is made in which salutation is not sent upon me, that dua is suspended. It doesn't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you seal it with Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. That's why you'll notice at the end of lectures, the mashayikh will always say, Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salamun ala al-mursaleen. And then, you know, wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. This is how they always close off. Salawat ala Nabi, salawat ala Nabi. Because until a person doesn't send salutations and doesn't make dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that dua itself is suspended. That's why from the etiquettes of dua is that you start off by praising Allah, then you send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You make dua for the ummah, you make dua for yourself, you send salutations upon the Prophet, and then you finish off your dua by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the beginning and end of your dua, you start with praising Allah, you end with praising Allah. The second thing you do is salawat ala nabi. The second to last thing you do is salawat ala nabi. The reason why they give this etiquette is because they say if the beginning and end is so perfect, it's so beautiful, everything in between will also be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not going to reject your dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the beginning. Allah is not going to reject your dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the end. So if the beginning and end is accepted, what about? Insha'Allah al-Aziz, that will also be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some scholars, they say that it is mandatory for a person to say salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at least once in their lifetime. Then after that, they say it's recommended as much as you can. Some say at least once in a gathering, when you hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a gathering, at least once you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then after that, as you wish. My mashayikh used to also always say to us that every time you hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the bare minimum you can do is say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make this a part of your Ramadan routine. Make this a part of your dua. Make this a part of your schedule. And if you're wondering, is there any specific virtue for sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did the Prophet ever tell us in the hadith to send salawat upon him? I'll share one narration with you today, and tomorrow we'll cover many more narrations, inshallah. The first narration I want to share with you today, one narration. When the ayah of the Quran was revealed in Surah Ahzab, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. By the way, if you focus on that ayah, you'll notice one thing. There are two words used in the ayah, salat and salam. What are the two words? Salat and salam. Note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives salat from himself, but Allah does not give salam from himself. Did you guys notice that? Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Does Allah give salam from himself? Yes or no? No. Allah only gives salat. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. However, we're told to do both. Salat in salam. Why is that? Well, the reason is because the meaning of salam comes in two forms. Either it comes in the meaning of peace or it comes in the meaning of submission. And there is no submission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to any of His creation. Therefore, that word itself was not used in the ayah of the Quran. As for salat, sending mercy, mercy is only sent through Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am the originator of mercy and I will send it upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's an adab element there for those of you who have an understanding and understood the point that I was trying to make. It's a very deep and reflective point, something you can really think over in terms of adab and how to address language to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and addressing language to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this ayah was revealed, the companions, they said, "Na'rifu salam, fakayfa nusalli alayk?" O Messenger of Allah, we understand the concept of salam because they were already saying in their prayers, "Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, ashadu an la ilaha illallah." They already knew that part. They said, "What is salah? How do we send salat upon you?" So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Qulu," say, "Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala," you know the salat we read at the end of our prayer? The Sahaba say, we were taught this prayer by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just as he would teach us a surah of the Quran. Harfan, harfan, you know, like letter by letter, verse by verse to make sure it reaches perfection. I close today's khatira by reminding you of how lofty of an ibadah, and I use this word ibadah not because we worship the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this an act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward 10 times. Just as you do any good deed in the Quran, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا, 10 times the reward. When it comes to sending salawat upon the Prophet, Allah multiplies the reward how many times? The same thing. مَنْ صَلَّ عَلَيَّ وَاحِدَةً صَلَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِهَا عَشْرًا, Allah will send 10 upon you. This isn't an ibadah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are simply making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember this. The honor of this ibadah is such that the mashayikh underneath the ayah of Surah Ahzab, they commentate on it by saying, "Inna Allah ta'ala amarakum bi amrin bada'a fihi bi nafsi." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is telling you to do something that he started himself with doing. وَثَنَّا بِمَلَائِكَةِ قُدْسِ. And secondly, he told the honorable angels to engage in that form of ibadah. وَثَلَّثَ بِكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ مِنْ بَرِيَّةِ جِنِّهِ وَإِنْسِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered all of the believers, not only insan. Is there any mention of insan in that ayah? مِنْ بَرِيَّةِ جِنِّهِ وَإِنْسِ. The human beings and the jinn kind. فَقَالَ تَعَالَى مُخْبِرًا وَآمِرًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.